Welcome to the mikvah.org podcast. The mikvah organization has been dedicated to the education and resources for Jewish family life since 1975-5735. You can support our vital work at mikvah.org/donate. Thank you for your support and enjoy today's recording.
Welcome to this podcast episode on the topic of intimacy with Mrs. Sarah Morozov. This is a recording of a class that Mrs. Morozov gave to the Shluchos at the Kinos. Please note that this class is intended for informational purposes only. It is a sensitive topic and should be listened to as such. If you have any questions regarding this topic or after listening to the class, please reach out to your own Rav. This recording does not give over the halachos of intimacy. If you are looking for a podcast episode or text about these halachos, please see the links provided in the show notes below.
Good morning, everybody. It's so nice to see people relaxing with smiles on your faces. So I was asked to talk about the halachos of intimacy, and I don't like to talk about the halachos of intimacy, at least before like a 10-hour hakdama. So my 10 hours, I have an hour and 15 minutes, which is very challenging. So this is what we're going to do. I will do a little hakdama, and I really like to talk. I like to teach from sources. I don't like when people say, Sarah Morozov said. I like when you see everything in the original. So I put together, for hakdama, there's one booklet that looks like this. It says source booklet. We're going to do a hakdama, which is an introduction from this source booklet. And then we're going to review the halachis. I'm going to do the halachis bal peh in a different order. But because I don't want people to say, I went to the kinnis and Mrs. Morozov said, here we have Rabbi Jacobs gave us permission to photocopy from his book. It's the only book that has the halachis of intimacy in English. So we photocopied the halachis straight from this. You could review it at home with your husband. And ultimately, of course, you can ask your rov. Don't make any changes. Like, you know, coming from the kinnis, don't like move around the furniture, who knows what, before you check with the rov. It's got to be a source of shalom bias, not a source of anything else. So here, that's why you have two booklets here. I also want to say this is a very delicate subject, and the way we're going to do questions is I'm not going to take any raised hands of questions at all. I also want to tell you that I'm not a rov, so I won't. And when it comes to questions on intimacy, they are so individual, and I'm talking here to so many individuals. So I don't even know what questions are even answerable in public. So I reserve the right to decide which questions I will want to answer. I do want to tell you that Baruch Hashem, mikvah.org, we just launched a soft launch of a helpline about a month ago, 1-833-4-MIKVAH, 833-4-MIKVAH. If you go on mikvah.org/helpline, you could book an appointment. There's quick questions, and then if you want a consultation with an intimacy specialist, you can leave your name and phone number. Somebody will get back to you if you want to discuss something a bit more elaborate. So you always have a way to get your questions answered, okay? Nobody here is left alone. So with that introduction in the source booklet, I will always like Peschim B'Dvar Malchus. I want to start something from the words of our Rebbe. So when we talk about intimacy, the first thing we have to know is that we address every topic with the urgency or the importance of what the topic is. So before we even get to the halachos, we have to know what is the shtel, what is the status of the topic of our intimacy in Yiddishkeit or in Chassidish or al pi Chassidus. If it's something very important, we know we have to treat it one way. If it's something trivial, we're going to treat it another way. How do I know what's important and what's trivial? What's on Instagram? What my kids nudge me about, that must be the most important thing in the world that minute and nothing else exists. So obviously, let's start and hear what the Rebbe says. Okay, so we're looking now on page one. Okay, Vehine, okay, page one. This is from Shabbos Parashas V'Yachob Yikudi, Parashas Parv, Rav Chaych Nissen, Toshin Chof Aluf. You see, it's a copy from Teres Menachem, right? You see the layout? That's where it's from. So where the arrow says, it says, V'hinei iker hashuras hashchina be'beis hamikdash ha'isa be'kodesh ha'kodashim. The most important place where the Shechina rests in the Beis HaMikdash was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shalachei Nikra Kodesh HaKadoshim, therefore it's called Kodesh HaKadoshim. Therefore the Kodesh HaKadoshim was called Chadar HaMitos, the bedroom. But what the Rebbe says so clearly, it's from a source, look on the bottom. It is in, can't even see, 52, from Malachim over there in Rashi, that the Kodesh HaKadoshim of our home is the bedroom. Not the kitchen where we cook our Shabbos meals, and not the Shabbos table where we put our candlesticks, and not in the study where all the Torah Svarim are, you know, the Svarim. Dafke in the master bedroom. Kevin Shasham Hu Amitis Ayichot Shel Kashbar Chol Yisrael. Just like in the Kodesh Kedoshim, that is the truest and most complete oneness between Hashem and the Jewish people. Va'ad v'hayu v'basar echad, until they become as one. And here the Rebbe actually references also to the husband and wife. That is where the absolute most truest bond between the husband and the wife take place, until they become literally as one goof, as one body. V'lechein amru razal, and therefore chazal say, b'zman shal yisro ha'isim r'sein shamal kam ha'yokruvim v'ayifim d'pneim ishal ochiv, sh'raimez al yichud ha'kodesh baruch u'knes yisro. Whatever chazal say, when the Jewish people were behaving properly, they did Hashem's will, the kruvim that were on top of the arayin, the male and the female little kruvim, they were facing each other, and that showed, and they were embracing each other, like Chazal say, and that showed on the closeness between Hashem and the Jewish people. So number one, our bedroom is not just another place in the house that we have to take care of. Like we put so much effort in managing our kitchens and what food we're going to cook for Shabbos, where am I going to go shopping, what's on sale, do we have enough of this, do we have enough paper goods? You know, we put so much effort in our kitchen, but we have to remember how the importance of taking care of our bedroom. It's not just another room. This is the most important room, actually, is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then the Rebbe continues to say, this type of oneness that we find in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is in every single marriage. It's not just in Hashem's Kodesh HaKadoshim, but every single home, every single marriage, every single master bedroom has this concept of ultimate oneness, and that is Shazohu Shehanusun Heim Binin Adayad Sho Inyan Hamshachas Koicha Einsev Kefi Shemizgala Binivrom Mikbolim Shim Heyesa Mikbolim Nimshach Lehim Inyan Sho Einsev Ubigvol Bidugamas Kodesh HaKadoshim Shemokim. And here the Rebbe goes on to say, what does it mean? What is actually taking place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? It's a place where we have this combination or this merging of bli gvul, something that's infinite, in gvul, in the finite. That's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. An example is that the Arayin, if you measured the dimensions of the Arayin itself, it had certain dimensions. But when you measured from the edge of the Arayin to the wall, it didn't take up any space. The room of the Kodesh HaKadoshim didn't include minus the exact dimensions of the Arayin itself. So on one hand, there was a physical dimension to the Arayin. On the other hand, when you measured the room, it was much bigger than that in the dimensions. It didn't take away. So it was a nace. But this is the concept. When we enter that Kodesh HaKadoshim, we have the power to draw down in our finite homes, in our limited gufim, we draw down our Ein Sof. This is what it means, binyan adi ad. What does it mean, an everlasting structure? Like, do our homes last forever? But the energy that we, so there's different ways that's explained, but here in this context, that the energy that we draw down through being together with our husbands, it's energy that's our Ein Sof. Through our bodies, we are kelim to merge. We're finite people, we're human beings with feelings, with thoughts, with variations of all the above in a very finite, limited human way. At the same time, through intimacy, like in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we have the koyach to draw down this Or Ein Sof. So look at that. To draw down godly energy in our homes and the type of energy that's Ein Sof, who doesn't want more of that? Don't we want to connect to something that's so infinite and so much higher? And the next paragraph, I'll just say it in Baal Peh, just you'll see it inside, how the Rebbe brings another point, which is so important, that our marriages are connected to the marriage of Adam and Chava. Like when Hashem created the first being, Adam and Chava, And we should, one of the brachas of Shemar brachas is that we should rejoice, like Adam and Chava rejoiced in Gan Eden Mekedem. And here they're connected to Simcha. Just like then they were in total Simcha, it was before the Chait. And in Rosh Hashanah Mashiach comes, they're connected. There'll be again the Simcha of Ozi Mois Chait Pinu. The place of our Kodesh Kedoshim is a place of Simcha. It's not a chore, oivei. It's not a to-do list. It's a place of joy, a place of happiness, a place of passion, okay? So we have over here those few points that we can have as a backdrop of what we're gonna talk about next. Now let's turn the page. Here's another little source. I mean, a huge source, who's to say what source is little and whose source is a lot, but here's from another Sikha of Matas Maseh. You see also from Taras Menachem, and we're gonna do just a line from the last paragraph, and then we'll go to the paragraph before. Ukiyadua, and like it's well known, the inyan ha'ichudim al yoyim. The ichudim in Chassidus is when opposing energies unite. Since the moment of Tzimtzum, we have male energy and female energy. It's like binary. And on all levels of creation, from Tzimtzum and downwards, all the way down here, Lumata, Masar Tvachim, we have these opposing energies, and they unite at many different levels. So here the Rebbe is saying we have the highest type of unions of male and female energies that are taking up in the most sublime and highest and most purest and holiest worlds, Gemayla. And just like above, these Yichudim, Shehem Inyonim Na'alim B'Yeser, they're the most, what's Na'alim? Elevated type of unions, V'lachen Gam L'mata Hu Inyon Na'alim. That's why down here on earth, our physical unions are so elevated and so special and so holy and just something like wow. Because what we're doing down here is not just on the human level, it parallels and it causes also chain reactions, lamaila, how male and female energies unite. So us little beings here are really part of a much bigger picture. And our attitude to intimacy is not just, okay, if I'm in a mood, if I'm fun, let me make it happen, or we're not flippant about it. Because look what's going on here. It stands for the highest type of connection. Okay, then it says in Chassidus, because there's some type of Yichudim Elyonim that are so holy, they can't come down here in the world in a safe way, and therefore they have to be avoided, and they're the type of Yichudim that are Osir, and there's places you could learn more about that. But I want to point something out in the paragraph before. And the Rebbe says, Sha'osir is forbidden to see a king when he's undressed. But the Isser is only on the onlookers of a king. Because somebody who's not a king, you know, a covet for the king, nobody should see him in an undressed way. But a king himself, there can be, because there's no other there, it's only him himself, and there is no zar, there's nothing outside or separate from him, and therefore there's an inyan of being undressed. And the Rebbe explains this is the darg of Gilui Kush of the Kodesh Kedoshim. In the Kodesh Kedoshim, that was a level. And because it's a place of etzem, of total oneness, there was only Eivishter, nothing else. And that was what does it mean, undressed? That the iris aren't hidden. There could be shone in the full capacity without any partitions or without any coverings. So the Rebbe doesn't say this here, but also in our Kedoshim, it should be a place where I could be totally me. That I don't have to, I could be vulnerable, I could be myself, I could be comfortable. I don't have to hide anything. If you feel that in order for you to be engaged in intimacy, there's a part of yourself that you have to suppress completely, there's a part of yourself that you have to hide from each other, or like you have to go behind someone's back. There's privacy and then there's secrecy. Like if there's secrets going on, let's question where that's coming from, because really it's a place where it could really just embrace myself completely as I am, my husband embracing me as I am, me embracing him how he is, and we're both totally okay with each other as we are at that moment. Very important to have that emotional openness
in order to connect in a very real and complete way. So those are two Makairas. I'm just going to go through another few as a backdrop. Okay, the next one is from the Reishis Chochma. I'm sure you recognize this. So it's interesting. The reason I want to bring in from the Reishis Chochma is because we always get this question. I know there's so much available out there. Where do people get the information from? This Instagram, this book, that book, the other book, everybody, this coach, that speaker, that organization. So as Chassidim, how do we know what's Chabad? What our Rebbeim told us, what our Rebbeim wrote, or something we have Mesoyer Baal Peh. You know, even in Levush, does it say anywhere in writing the Rebbe said we should wear a white shirt, black pants, this type of hat, not the other type of hat? In Yiddishkeit, besides having the written word, there's something called Mesoira, right? And that's how we know what we stand for, correct? Now, what does Chabad say about intimacy? Are there siches? Are there mamorim? How do we know? What's the Chabad view? You know, in Yiddishkeit, there's so many different views, and Baruch Hashem, the Eibishter created that there are legitimate views, not only in Hashkafa, but also in Halacha, Eilu ve'Eilu Dirokim Chaim. And different communities have different shittas in Halacha, in many mitzvahs, including when it comes to intimacy. So how do we know what's Chabad? So the Rebbe told Chassanim many times to learn before they get married, besides Siman Reish Mem and Shulchan Aruch, talks about the halachas of tzinius, which is the halachas of intimacy. They're called the hilchot tzinius, which that alone should teach us a lot. But the Rebbe told Chassanim to learn the two chapters from Reishis Chochma that talk about intimacy. And those two chapters, the Reishis Chochma was written by a Talmud from the Ramak. I keep forgetting his name, but the Ramak we all know, Ramesh Kordovero, if you ever visited Tzfas, you know, I think one of those blue shoals. But, you know, Ramak, it's mentioned in Tanya, we know Ramak, so we know it's based on Kabbalah. So he talks about how to bring Kedusha in your life in general. And that means that what's the Chabad Shita on intimacy? What's written where? In the Reishis Chochma. So there could be wonderful sources all over the place. And valid and beautiful for all types of Yidden. But if, and maybe sometimes we have to use other sources too. I'm not saying, but if we have to know as Chabad what we stand for. And we go by the Shita, the Hashkafa that's painted beautifully in the Reishis Chochma. Now, the Reishis Chochma quotes a lot in Zohar. So I want to just show you a few quotes from the Reishis Chochma. Again, we can't be here forever. But here, the foundation of intimacy, what's the goal of intimacy? In one word, the goal of intimacy is oneness, connection, togetherness, bonding, unity on all levels. It's true that pleasure, tainug, is a very important component. It's a great byproduct. But your measure of success is not how much pleasure was had. Your measure of success was how connected, how bonded, how one I feel with my spouse. And if you look at that theme, of many halachas in Shulchan Aruch are there to create the setting for us to feel the most focused and connected with each other. And I'm sure if the Shulchan Aruch was written in Tavshan Pei Dalet, there will be a whole entire se'if, what you do with your phone at that time. Is it good enough that it's out in the night table, shut off? Does it be out of the room? How many hours before should you start shutting off the phone to create? There will be a whole shakal v'tarya, but I'm sure no phones in the bedroom would be an absolute halacha, or shut off at least, the machmer, mekil, but it's part of it. Okay, I'm sorry to say I'm not part of the code of fires, but I'm just, if you look through the themes, it fits right in. So here, let's read from the, because we're short on time, instead of giving a whole akdome, let's just go straight to the insert here, which is the translation. Okay, on the left side, that's the translation of the Zohar. And he's laying down right away in the beginning, what is intimacy? What does it mean, oneness? Boy or A, that's the Lashon of the Zohar. Come and see. Come, my kinder. Let's see something. Bizman sha'adam nimso bevzivuk echad zohar nekeva. When the human being is found in that complete connection, zivuk, oneness, of the male and the female. Okay, so we have a complete connection. umiskaving, and he has the intention, lehiskadesh, to make himself holy, and we'll still learn what that means. Kayos, karoi, as is befitting, ozhu sholem, that's when he reaches his completion. When can I, as a human being, reach my ultimate shlemus? When I'm totally one with my spouse. V'nikra echot, then my husband and me, now we're called one. We're one unit, b'loy pegima, without any blemish whatsoever. So in order to reach that ultimate state of oneness, what does it mean, oneness? So we'll explain that we have oneness, l'fichach, tzarecha adam v'samechas ishtei v'ishtohom. A man has to make his wife happy at that time. What part of ourselves are we talking about now? Our physical part, our intellectual part, or an emotional part? Emotional part. We can't just go for our bodies. Let's just like take our bodies and have fun. In mutter it is. There's mutter and kaddish, which is a whole other topic about the, and for us, of course, on Tanya, yikadish atzmai is so important, the end of parak beis. We don't just go for minimal. Kiddusha is a fundamental for chassidim and for chassidishkeit. Okay, so that's about the emotions. We have to feel emotionally connected. He has to make you happy at that time. We'll discuss in a couple minutes other more practical suggestions about that emotional connection, okay? Then we have, okay, to prepare or to draw her in, b'rotzen echot imo, she should have that desire to be with him. And we know there's desire, you know, but sometimes there's something called responsive desire, that it wasn't really my plan originally, and I wasn't really kind of in the mood, but once you kind of start, and you start a little bit, and you start a little more, then you could jump into it. But the main thing is that before we even talk about a physical connection, it's so important that we feel emotionally connected. And besimcha. Then we move to v'yiskavnu shneim ke'echad l'dover ahu. What part is v'yiskavnu, girls? Ladies, our mind. We have to have the right intention. We have to focus. We have to viskavnu kivun. We have to be. Our minds have to be directed to this mitzvah at the moment. We're not thinking about anything else. Our whole list of to-dos was deleted from our memory at that time. You know, somewhere in the trash. Who knows? I mean, we have to reclaim it. But we're totally focused on each other. So over here, we have to have that emotional connection and that physical connection, and when we're bonded on all those levels, then we're called Ish Echad. What happens when we have that oneness, and this is what we're asking for? What does it mean, Kedusha? When we have that state of oneness, as a Kodesh Baruch Hu Shoichin Ba'isei Echad, Eibshter rests in that union, and that's what it means, we draw the Shekhinah between us. You want to maximize the Eibshter's presence in our lives, in our bedrooms, in our Kodesh Kedoshim, and from the Kodesh Kedoshim, it spreads to the rest of the home, it spreads to the rest of the world, just like the Shekhinah came down from between the Kruvim or the other parishes, it came down between the poles of the Arim, just like the muscle in the medrash is just like a woman's, you know, chest, like the two the edges of the poles of the aron, like kind of stuck out through the pareches, just that symbolism. But through the union of husband and wife, we draw the Shekhinah down to our homes. So if we want to maximize the Shekhinah that's drawn down, so we're on that total state of oneness, that Eivshter comes down, and the Eivshter brings forth the Holy Ruach. Because we mentioned, sometimes what we create, certain intimacies, actually drawn down in a goof. But like the Shabbat says so beautifully, every time husband and wife are intimate in Kedush and Tara, we draw down a Ruach. Like it says here, and those in Mirza Shem and Mashiach will come, those in the Shamas will be born into Gufim, and that's also a whole other subject that we could talk another time. So that's on that page, the idea of Achdus. Now let's turn the page. Here's another sefer that you might want to see. It's called Kedoshim Tiyu. It's written by Reb Tzim Hendel in Eretz Yisrael and Migdal HaEmek years ago. It's just an anthology. It's just a collection, not just. It's a beautiful collection of everything that has to do with the halachas of intimacy, just in a fact form. Okay, is it black and white? There's no pinks, there's no frills, there's no flowers. So that you have to add in on your own. I remember the first time I took the cipher, I actually was so afraid of it. I thought the shaitan was going to come get to me. And I kind of said, I don't want to sleep in the house. Somebody borrow it. It's too much for me. But then I calmed down. And you have to have the right context. And if there's anything there that's puzzling to you, or you've been doing different, just you'll speak to a rav, you'll speak to your mashpia, you'll figure it out. I mean, speak to your husband, of course, you'll figure it out. But I find it so fascinating. There are so many beautiful sources on the holiness and the beauty of intimacy. So here I chose an interesting source that talks about what kind of words it's what. And again, I just want to say some of the sources she uses are also from Rabbi Yaakov Entensider, which already was translated into English. It's available on Amazon. But he also explains, he has a few chapters on the Kedusha of intimacy that is written in a very beautiful way. So here he says, what are the loving words that a husband should share with his wife during the preparations for intimacy? That there is a concept of sharing words of love to draw her in, get into conversation. So there's themes of this conversation. So one is, tell them, like Adam said about Chava, Zaisapam, this time, etzem me'atzoma, you're a bone from my bone, u'basar mi'psari, it's a flesh from my flesh, le'zaisi kare isha. What does this mean? My husband should tell me, you're a bone from my bone, you're a flesh from my flesh. What's this concept? So here in the I should have underlined this, but to say you're really part of me, we're part of each other. Words that describe your oneness, your connection, your closeness, that we're really one and the same.
Essence means essence.
Essence. My essence is your essence. We share the same essence. Thank you. Any type of words that help us feel that how maximum is our connection? Because if we think about it, our neshamas are two halves of one. Now, do we know, did you ever, raise your hand, did you hear this concept that we share two halves of one neshama? Now, I'm going to ask you, how many hours a day do you really feel or focus on the fact that we're two halves of one neshama? Like over 10 hours a day, raise your hand. 5 hours, 5 minutes, 5 seconds. Okay. So here, the Eibishter created this gift that we have to take from time to time, okay, oina. We have to plan time to time to focus on that oneness, because in the way of nature and Olam Hazeh, there's so much that gets between us. Even if we feel very emotionally close, but we're busy. This one's going, this one's coming, that one's doing this. Hectic lives. And now add again, maybe Gwyneth will be last time I'll mention this amazing tool called the phone, but it'll be a tool of destruction too. It's like very powerful. There's so much going on. I don't know if any of you remember before the days of phones. Life was so calm. It was a machayev. We now double speed. You think we have to process everything so fast to get something? Our brains aren't created for that. The Rebbe spoke slow and deliberate for a reason, so we could process. Speak slowly to your husband. Slow, slow. Process. Pause. Have comfortable pauses in your conversation so we could absorb and process the words that we're sharing. Slow, calm. Okay. Half speed or whatever. So why am I saying this? To take time to focus, to remove any distraction, to remove anything between us emotionally, from our mind, our space, totally to come together in the same space to focus on our oneness. So one is words that explain and describe our oneness, that we're essentially a bonded person. And two paragraphs later, he says something different. Gozois. This is why I think you're so special. You're so unique to me. Words that you feel you want to point out, the other one's my list, why they're so unique and special to you. And we have to think about that. Sometimes it doesn't, and you may have to tell your husband the nusach that you want to hear, and that's okay. Give him the script, and eventually he'll know it by heart, and eventually he'll actually even do it on his own. It can happen. But there's words that allow us to come to that space where we feel so one and connected. And the next paragraph, again, I'm going to have to speed up a little. The bottom is a piece from Rabbi Yaakov Entensider. And here, again, you have to calm her down, make her happy, support, give her the support she needs, whatever's going to make her happy. But what I like to see is, look what it says in the third line from that paragraph on page 4, that big paragraph on the bottom. Wait to see Yehi Nikar Benishimasa Oveineha. Tune in. Is her breathing getting faster? The pupils of her eye. You know, when you have desire
and arousal, those physical things that change in her body. Tune into that. You know, draw her in and see the development of the change of those hormones and the impact that you'll see for real. Don't just jump into this. Be ready. Go at her pace. See where she's at. I just thought, interesting. Okay, there's so much more we could talk about the rest of the paragraph, but again, that'll be for bringing at a time when we don't have a time limit. Okay, the next page is super important. So this, I quoted it from here. There's a big balaturim on the bottom on the words of Oman Yitavloch that I underlined on the top. And this is actually an exact quote from a Gemara. And it's talked about a lot, but I want to bring it in just from, I'm painting a beautiful flowery picture of the unity of the Kodesh Kedoshim. We're drawing down the Shechina of the merging or the of the Gvul, the finite with the infinite, of the oneness, of the joy, of the passion, of that we're connection and unique and all these wonderful, wonderful words. In the real life, this I'm going to shift now to something a bit more practical, but at the same time, I don't want Chas V'Shalom to scare anyone away. The reason I might be a bit over practical is because if there's even one woman in this room who hearing this may give her the koyach to make a change in the continuation of her married life together and set it up. You know, sometimes we have to recalculate and we have to get back on track. Then it was worth everything, even though it may perhaps cause a bit discomfort to other people around, okay? So I just want to give you that kedoma. Everything over here will be on a spectrum, but everybody will have to digest it based on their digestive system and how it works for them. And if you're allergic to one little piece, so tune out until we move on to the next one, okay? So there's a very famous Gemara. It says, Kabi go, Kabi sabich v'simecha, right? Honor your mother and your father. Kasher tzivcha Hashem alakecha, like Hashem commanded you. Leman yarichon yomecha, should have long life. And this is not in Yisrael, this is in Voschanan, these words. Uleman yitavloch, and it should be good for you. You know, by the way, respecting your parents, it's a good thing. Sometimes it's a bit challenging, but the Eibusher says it's good. Okay, so in the Sefer Torah, on the letter Tes, there's extra crowns, tagin al hates. Okay, that's what the Baal term says. So when there's extra crowns in the Sefer Torah, it's there to teach us a lesson. So what is the lesson that we learn from the tagin al hates? So one lesson is respect your parents because it says your mother carried you for 9 months. The bottom line is that's why they deserve our respect. Even if they don't, if our parents did nothing else except for birth us, we have to respect them forever. Okay? But then comes the famous Gemara of the Tes Noshim. This number 9 teaches us there's 9 types of women, or 9 types of relationships, that because they were lacking in either emotional connection with their husbands, it goes both ways, spouses, or they were lacking on that level of focus on each other, it's not a healthy situation. They're detached, they're disconnected. And if children are born from such a union, they feel disconnected and detached from the parents. So if we want to create children that feel naturally connected and attached to the parents, we are careful, we are zahir, to avoid intimacy in these 9 situations. So if I would have time, I would learn it from the inside because I really love to learn from the inside. However, due to the shortage of time, I will say it baal peh. Okay, so there's a nitrikain, which is not a Rosh Tevis, but in English it's called a, I don't know what, Osnas Meshageach, Aleph, which is really Sin, Nun, Tav, Mem, acronym. Okay, so we'll go through the 9 situations. B'nei Anusa, children that are born from a situation where the woman was forced into being with her husband. Now, this sounds very extreme. Forcing. But it's not just forcing. It's not just marital rape, which does exist. And it's a form of abuse. You know, there's physical abuse, There's financial abuse, there's emotional abuse, there's sexual abuse in Jewish marriages. Of course, chas v'sholem, it's osur gomer, it's isur gomer. But we're talking, like the Mefarshim say, in a different level. A woman is never coerced into intimacy. When she's there with a full heart. What would create a situation when a woman feels like she's coerced? The antidote to that is called communication. Okay? Communication is the most important tip I could give you when it comes to healthy intimacy. Okay? From right away upon marriage until 120, our intimate life is a journey. It fluctuates based on so many factors. Personal factors, you know, it could be physical factors, our bodies change, maybe we're on medication, it has side effects that could impact our intimate life. It could be physically the environment, we're gonna be Pesach in somebody's house and all the kids are gonna be in the room, you know. There's so much on the physical sense, there's so much on the emotional, aspect. We go through different emotions. We experience different stresses. Our husbands are not necessarily or probably not going through the same feelings at the exact same time that we are. Or even if the same stressor happened at the same date, our reactions could be very different. And therefore, it's so important to have regular, ongoing conversations to assess the situation if you're happy, if you're satisfied with what's going on in your intimate life. And you tweak it and change it accordingly, because we are moving, and even religiously, maybe we thought we'll keep certain standards and it'll work beautifully for us for a certain segment in our life. And sometimes perhaps those extra chumras for this time in our life is backfiring. It doesn't work anymore. You understand? So does it mean no intimacy, chas v'sholem? So therefore, we need healthy, honest, loving, kind conversations with each other on an ongoing basis, just like you have the time that you talk about your emotional aspect of your relationship, your shalom bayis, if it's once a week, how has the week passed, what should we change, what should we keep the same for next week, and maybe then it could be once a month, it depends what's going on in your life. But there's so many changes. And just because, let's say, for X amount of pregnancies, this worked for you, it doesn't mean at pregnancy number whatever, that will work for you. Or maybe after your first miscarriage, you had this reaction, it doesn't mean after the second miscarriage will be the same reaction. We're human beings and we fluctuate a lot. And just with conversations with so many women, so much heartache could have been saved, or so much precious time could have been in beautiful connection, was wasted just because of lack of communication. Now, before communication, if you want to know a healthy way, if I want to raise my daughter with a healthy attitude to intimacy, one of the key ingredients is also trust your gut. You know, your mind tells you things, your emotion tells you things. But in Chassidus, you know, it says the kidneys, I don't know what that means, or the kloyos, but it's your gut. If something feels off, don't ignore it. Explore it. Tune into yourself. Yourself is telling you a message. And so many times before communication is, what happened before? Did you feel uncomfortable with this? I wasn't sure, you know, come to think of it, I felt so uncomfortable, but I kind of dismissed it, I buried my feelings. Okay, listen, not every ache and pain do you have to deal with, you have to be aware of it. Like I keep saying these days, Baruch Hashem, Hashem gifted me with more years of my life. And then you feel, you're a varim. Everyone says hi. Can you hear okay? Can you, this part, that part. Do you have to deal with every little thing? Some things they say, I feel it, but now it's okay. Doesn't mean you have to turn it into an issue. But tune into yourself. And some things you'll dismiss because you understand it. I felt it. I know it. But right now I'm closing my eyes on it. And certain things, because it was by choice. You didn't dismiss it because you didn't deal with it. You dismissed it because you made the choice
that I'm aware of this fact, I'm aware of this feeling, I understand where it's coming from, and I made a choice that right now I'm going to leave it alone. Let's see what happens, you know? And other things, you will speak up in a kind, sensitive, loving way that this doesn't work for you. When you do this and this and this, this is how I feel about it. You understand? Okay, so Anusa, the antidote is just start communicating, okay? Now we have, then with proper communication, because people ask, can I ever say no, right? With good communication, he should know when it's going to be a yes, or when, let's not even start the process, because if XYZ is going on, it's not for her. I know her already. It's not the right time. It's not the right space, whatever it is, right? But sometimes there's something new going on. The first time this happened, we don't know, right? When we're good to each other, we want to make each other happy. So often it could happen, I'm not in the mood, but you know, it's so important for him, I love him, I'll rise to the occasion, I'll, of course. Why not, you know, have an opportunity based on his need, even though it wasn't really on my radar, we jump into it, and again, with responsive desire, we start, we could continue. But sometimes it's going to be impossible. We know, whatever it is, I don't want to give examples because it gets personal, but it could be as simple as fatigue. Up to a certain age in your life, if you were tired, it didn't make such a difference when it came to intimacy. But once something else went on, now your baby is waking you up. Maybe people don't have babies, I don't know. Maybe you're something or other, I don't know. I want to be sensitive here. But now if I'm up at 5 a.m. because I'm past maybe older in my life and waking up early is one of those symptoms, by time, you know, usually midnight was fine, but now forget it. I've been up for 15 hours. It's not going to work, right? So again, communication is important if it's not working. But sometimes it could happen that it just won't work. How you say no is so important, because there's a way of saying no by giving a bigger yes. Okay? So if he comes home and you're like, what? You're crazy? Don't you see what's going on? Like, how could you? Versus, wow, it would be so amazing. But on a practical level, no, no, no. How about wake me up a little later? Tomorrow we'll even go out before, you know. Make a suggestion that it doesn't come off as a rejection, okay? Because rejection hurts. So the packaging is very, very important, right? The same the other way around. Next, we have snua. Now, if you read the word snua, even though us nasis with a samach, but snua here is hated, unloved. Now, who's married to somebody who hates them? Chas v'sholom, it's not a marriage. But I want to ask you something, and maybe you won't use the word husband. Do you have a close friend or a sister that you really have a great relationship with? And one fine day, they said something or did something, and it really hurt you, and you felt so distant and angry. Did it ever happen? Yes, happened to me, so I assume it happened to you. It can happen. If it didn't happen yet, it can happen. During that feeling of distance, you're not faking it and going into bed feeling distant. Okay, take my body, do what you want, and get on with life. No, 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 no. We have to feel that emotional connection. But if I feel so hurt, and it's my mikvah night, how do I get into bed with him? Like, how does it work? So I want to just, instead of thinking between hurt and being in bed together, let's bridge that gap, okay? Let's think of the word connection. How can I move from distance to connection? And what are some practical things? One thing could be just talk about it. You know when you make yourself vulnerable and discuss what just happened? You're not looking for a solution. You're not blaming anyone. You're just describing, you know? This afternoon, when I came home, and I expected this and this, and you promised this and this, and I came home, and whatever didn't happen, I felt, or you said those words, I felt so hurt. And what do you do after that? Stop talking, okay? Just stop. Just sharing your feelings between each other and giving him a chance to be there with you in your place of hurt already brings you closer. Maybe he'll apologize, maybe he'll explain himself, maybe he'll just be quiet. But what happened now? Are you closer to the graph? You know, the graph, how do you say? Are you closer to distance? Or are you closer to connection? Next, another thing could be, okay, it doesn't have to be from 0 to 100%. you know, sometimes after you share your hurt, right, you can edge a bit physically closer to the other person, like sit a little closer on the couch, you know, something, you know, maybe a type of affection that's maybe not romantic, but just support, you know, grounding, support. I'm here with you. Nothing wow, nothing amazing. And you will see how we can move from distance to intimacy by taking those baby steps. And before we know it, the hurt disappears. And why do I say the hurt disappears? And there's a whole nother topic we could discuss about how to be a makabel. There's mashpia and makabel, what it means to be a makabel. But here, in this point, I want to say, in order to actually allow somebody else into your space completely and unconditionally, you have to make that space. If that space is stuffed up with negativity, there's a blockage there. You can't fake it. So again, in order to be a true makabel, and when it comes to intimacy, we want to be totally with each other. Remember we talked about that total achdus? We want to share our total space together. Remember the orein, min hamida, the einein min hamida. We do have our personal space. At the same time, we're in a place where we don't occupy any space anymore because we're totally one with each other. We have no space. You understand? So we want to have a total merging of our spaces together. We have to learn how to empty out our negative feelings in order to really make total space for the other person. And sometimes that would require, you know, sometimes you need time alone. Sometimes you have to visualize emptying out that space. Sometimes you have to talk to yourself, take a long shower, listen to music, whatever it will be, whatever, sometimes you want to write it out and then rip it up and throw it away. Okay, so that's about snua. Also important, girls, every couple should have, I don't want to call them hanhogas, because that sounds like it comes from a sefer, you know? I don't like to call them rituals, because that sounds like religious. But there's things that we do for each other that we express our love to each other no matter what. Let's say in your marriage you decide from now on every day we're calling each other at 3 o'clock to check in with each other. Every day in the morning, he brings me, we drink coffee together. Once a week, Shabbos morning, we do this and this together. Every couple has things they do on a regular basis that demonstrate their connection that's personal between them. It's not something that says in a book to do. It's something that you decide between each other. This is how, it's our special connection we express this way. Like if the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin, they have their half an hour of tea. That's what they did. Doesn't mean I should drink tea for half an hour. Perhaps yes, perhaps not. What is my ritual of connection on a consistent basis? Even when we feel hurt or distant, it's super important to keep that ritual. Because what connects us, our neshama, is much more powerful than all the external layers. And it's so important to keep it up. Keep it up. You're going to wash Negavasser every morning, right? Keep washing the Negavasser, let's say. Okay? Just an example. The things we do for the Eibishter no matter what, the things that we do for each other. Next is B'nai Nida. Now, it doesn't mean, there are different ways how this is explained. Nida doesn't necessarily mean Chas V'Shalom Nida, that's Osir. Nida comes from disconnect or distant or set apart. It could be if somebody's in Chayrim, which is social distancing, how we would call it nowadays. That was used in order to coerce a Yid to follow the ruling of Beis Din. And if your spouse is in that state, in Chayrim, it's also to have relations with them because there's a distance that Hashem put, Beis Din, put between them and human beings around them. But another thing of Nida or Nadoi is mourning. Now, of course, somebody in Shiva is forbidden to have relations. If the husband or wife are in Shiva, it's forbidden to have relations, that's Osir. Now, sometimes we have what's called the second-hand mourner. Okay? It can be a very close relative, but you're physically not sitting Shiva.
is not somebody that mechuyev al pitayrit sit shiva, or it could be a sudden loss or a sudden death of somebody very close to you. Okay? Are you able, like we said, to empty your heart and be there with your husband totally and unconditionally? Or if your mind and your heart is on the mourning, then it's not a time to be intimate. Okay? Tmura we're going to skip. It's connected with Irbuvia. There's opposing views as to what that stands for. So we'll, like, if Tmura is Irbuvia or Irbuvia is Tmura, so we'll do that a little later. Miriva. What? Tmura. Asnas. Tof. Tmura. Number four is exchange. We'll soon tell you later what it means, exchange. Five, it could be different taichin, but I'm doing the words Miriva. What means Miriva? Our argument. Do you think it's ever going to happen that you're going to have a disagreement with your husband? So if you said no, you're not ready to get married. Because, I'm talking to Kalis, because it says, the Eibishah created the world, human beings, ein deish sein shavais, we are going to have differences of opinion that could both be right. This bottle of water, is it half full or is it half empty? It's both true. Different opinions, different views. So Meriva is not just what we're talking about, is it half full, half empty? You know, that's not what we're talking about. Sometimes we have to make decisions in life, major decisions in life. You know, sometimes, okay, minor disagreements you can let go. It's not that, hopefully we know how to deal with that. But something, there's really major stuff going on, you know, and like a policy. Should we use this method with that child? Or should we move out of our Chabad place because it's not working? Or all these like bigger stuff going on. So do we say as long as we are in a disagreement, we should never be intimate? No. We're going to learn how the Eibishter gave us the gift. Again, remember we talked about emptying out that space? We just have to consciously learn, if you have a disagreement, you wrap it up in gift wrapper and you put it on the shelf. And I say it's a gift, because if you have no disagreements, it means either you don't know how to speak up, which that itself is a problem, or it's an abusive relationship where you don't have a voice. So either of them is unhealthy. In a healthy relationship, there will be differences of opinion, and sometimes rather heated ones, okay? But we have to learn how to let go, put it to the side as we're intimate, and come back the next day, take that gift wrap, take the gift, unwrap it, and explore it a little more. I do want to say, statistically, I hate when saying men are like this and women are like that, because we have men that have, you know, till Mashiach comes, in Olam HaTikun, there's mixtures. In Olam HaToyo, it was absolute. But for the most part, a man has a much easier time. It comes from Chassidus, but a man has a much easier time. Now I had a disagreement. Now I like what Rabbi in the olden days, he was called Rabbi Yossi Jacobson. I don't know what his name is now, but he used to give this mashal: men are like waffles and women are like spaghetti. How old are you if you remember that mashal? Whatever, from years ago. But it was fascinating to me because I found it so true. Waffles, and now I'm in the box of disconnect. I'm arguing with my wife. Okay, now I left the kitchen. And now I'm going to the bedroom, and now I'm making love. Like, what does one have to do with the other? The argument is there, and the love is here. And spaghetti, do you know what spaghetti means? And how you say it in Portuguese, and in Spanish, and in Hebrew. You know what means spaghetti? Okay, everything is mixed. Like, you know, it's like your glasses is painted red. Everything turns red, you know? So it takes us a little while, perhaps, to let go, put it aside, and then jump into bed together. So don't get disappointed or annoyed, like, what's going on? Like, we just had this heated disagreement. It was so yuck. And now, like, we're just going to bed as if nothing. Like, hello? Like, but yeah, that could be a difference. Let's accept it. But we have to learn how to do this in life. It is an important skill. And the same thing with your children or with your coworkers or your students or the people that come to Chabad House. You know, it could be you're caught off guard. There was a little nasty exchange, whatever. Take a deep breath. Okay? It didn't paint the whole world red. Okay? Let's learn how to do that. Then we have shikaira. What means shikaira? Drunk. So I want to say two things about this. One is, unfortunately, I hear a lot about this nowadays. In order for me to relax and be intimate, I got to drink or use some other substance. Now, when we talk about shikaira, it's not just about alcohol. It's any substance that somebody needs to
inhale, imbibe, ingest, in, get inside their body. In order for me to relax and be with my husband, I need to do this. If that's what's going on, either on his end or on your end, or both of you together, we do together, hookah fun, whatever. Chas v'shalom. If that's what's going on, it's not you there, it's something else that's there. You must reach out and figure this out so we can continue in a holy conditioned way, okay? Not healthy. I'm not going to get into that. I'm saying it exists. We should be aware of it. It could come your way from other women. It's very in, unfortunately. Then there's shikira. It doesn't mean the mefarshim right away say if somebody had a little l'chaim, a revius of wine, it makes you a little in a good mood, you're a little levedic. That's fine. You're there and you're levedic if that's what you want. You're not going into a trance. You're not disconnecting from yourself. Yeah, you want, I'm not, that's not what it's talking about. Shikr means when somebody is not in their full capacity anymore. They, if you wouldn't drive with them in the car, you're not in bed with them either. Okay? Now, what happens? He comes home for Verbringen and he's so freilich and he wants to be with me. And he's so excited about me and he's all over me. Isha Ksheira, Bina Yisera, say, sure. Let me just get into the shower. Now you take the longest shower, whatever. You'll figure it out. And hopefully he fell asleep by the time he came out of the shower. How, or whatever, I'm just giving examples. But if that didn't happen, if you felt he was unstoppable because he's just not there, the next morning, you got to have a good discussion about it. It's not happening twice. Okay? You need an honest discussion. This is not a healthy way of having... I'm calling it alcohol, not mashke, for a reason, okay? This is substance abuse. You have to explain to him exactly what happened. Now, if his reaction is, oh my, I can't believe it, I'm so embarrassed, and he's like, whoa, and regret, and never happening again, and what steps he will take that it shouldn't happen, fantastic. But if he starts justifying it, what do you mean? There's a Verbringen, it was whatever, we were excited, like, what is it? Purim! I'm sorry. If that's the after effects of alcohol, violating a woman, violating halacha, it is too much for him or for you as a couple, and it has to be dealt with. Why am I telling you this again? Maybe it sounds scary, but if these people would have gotten help when it started after the first time, you wouldn't be dealing with 5 years later with a bunch of children with a whole bigger situation. So please, okay. Next, Irbuvio and Tmura, they're connected. What's Arayv? Ayin, what? Oh, Grushas Alev. Okay, it's the wrong order. Grushas Alev, I'm going to skip. It means somebody is divorced in their heart. There's different ways this is explained. On a practical level, it happens until Adahir Mazen. You may have women that this is a practical thing to know. I went to my lawyer. I'm planning to serve him the papers next week. But you know something? As soon as I serve him the papers, we can't be intimate, right? I'm moving out. But I don't know, till I get divorced, till I get remarried, I want to have some pleasure in my life. That means from now to forever, I can't have the pleasure of intimate behavior. Let me just at least chaparayin and use his body for a few more times until whatever. It happens. I'm not making up stories. This is no, absolutely not. I gave you the hakdama that it's going to sound scary, but chas v'shalom, I don't mean to scare anyone. And this is just... For the majority, it's how we started, and we'll finish in the right way too. But the reason I'm bringing this to our attention is because as a capacity of a shlucha, these things may come your way, or maybe in your personal lives. So we just have to know what Torah says. Irbuvia and Tmura means mixture. Like, Arayv Dever Shein, Arayv Irbuvia, Tmura Exchange. Irbuvia, okay, so there's two parts to it. One is, I am with my husband, but I'm thinking or fantasizing about another man, or vice versa. Now, it's very common, human nature, that if we had an experience, it could have been a visual experience, it could have been with a human being, that because of the context of what we were seeing or hearing, we had a romantic reaction. The hormones started being triggered. It could be even a novel that you read.
It could be something that you watched. It could be a song. It could be a person, somebody, a neighbor, a friend, even a relative, that his behavior is something that actually, as human beings, in Tanya, the Benin of Tanya could also have desires or thoughts of forbidden things. It's human. But and then when, okay, and it's dismissed, and then when we're in bed together, you feel certain feelings for your husband, and out came, you know, other experiences. So first of all, it's human that these things can happen. The fact that those thoughts or feelings came into your head, that's nothing wrong with that. That's life. But what do you do with them? You have to dismiss them. They can't. You can't be hanging onto them when you're with your husband, obviously. But I want to take it a step behind. And here it is. How does it happen? We as Eden have to follow halacha. We have to maximize our behaviors in a way to minimize the chances. And especially the Mittler Rebbe writes very severely about women taking lightly thoughts and feelings for other men, and how it could have a negative impact on children, etc. From the Mittler Rebbe, very. So, who are you hanging out with? And if there's a certain person that you feel is not a good idea for you or your husband, so it's not somebody you're going to invite often. If you invite them with another 25 people too, so they're batal b'shishim. But we got to plan what we watch, what we read, what we hear, who hangs around us, to create a situation that it doesn't create that at special moments when it's only my husband and me and the Eibishter and nobody else, all these other stuffy things come in. And that also applies to, and we could talk a lot about this, on Instagram, anonymous posts. What do men like to be turned on? What do women like? What's this in the bedroom, that in the bedroom, and all the other things. Baruch Hashem, I'm not on Instagram. But I get regards, or Hazara, however you want to call it. A whole nother subject, which I didn't even touch upon, is that of privacy. And our concept of privacy has to be what Torah says. You know, what we call private, and that's a whole nother discussion. And when I'll start, I'm afraid to start blowing that shofar because the tekiah gedolah will last until who knows when. That's all. But I just want to tell you, it makes a difference, my dears. It makes a difference. You plan your life that it is exclusive. And all the other stuff, my grandfather, Zalman Rari, used to say, a chassid of ein Eibishter, ein Rebbe, and ein Frey. And the rest of the world, and I say it in Yiddish, is irrelevant. Meaning, a chassid has one Eibishter, one Rebbe, and one spouse. Total devotion to all three. And the rest of the world is irrelevant information. And that's how it should be. So, Erbuvio comes to that. My grandfather. Okay, but that's how it should be. The other men don't.
Can you say the quote again?
I don't know how you should say it in Yiddish, total devotion to all three, and the rest of the world is irrelevant information. Lo kayam. Okay, but okay. Then we have ches is for chatsufa. Chatsufa means chutzpah, like brazen. And what does that mean? So there's two things that are talked about. So over there, the Baal HaTurim brings a beautiful story. It says that a man, ish teveya bapeh, a man could solicit intimacy using direct language. Isha tevaz balev, a woman will solicit intimacy touching the heart. A woman has feminine energy. We know how to draw our husbands in into desire without having to be explicit. And there's a whole discussion in Gemara when Leah exchanged with Rachel, with the Noim, and it was Leah's turn to be with Yaakov, and Yaakov is coming home from work, and Leah has to intercept Yaakov, that he should come to her tent, not to Rachel's tent. And she says, she went out to the field to greet him, and she says, Eli Tobai, come to me. And there's a whole discussion in various Mepharshim, is the word Bia, is it explicit or not? Like, was it a proper, improper? Because usually Torah uses Bia for intimacy. But then the different ways around it, one is very simple. Any word that could be used for other things also. Vayavoy, Haman, I mean, whatever. Bia could be used in other contexts, so it's not considered an explicit language. So that was fine. Other Mepharshim say, whatever she did to give him the message is so private, it's unmentionable. The message was, come, not the word. Okay, but because she excited him at a time when he was least expecting it, from that union was born Yisachar, that for all generations, they're the greatest Talmidei Chachamim. Now look at the reward of such a righteous woman who creates a taiva and her husband to her when he's least expecting it, that the reward is that the Shekhinah rests, they were the greatest Talmidei Chachamim for all generations. Which is, it shows her uniqueness. So, but here it is, using, what is the idea of using outright explicit language? You're bypassing touching his emotions. A man in general may have an easier time with external connection before we get to that internal connection, right? So if we want to make sure that the union and the connection is all-encompassing, we want to make sure the heart is there. By being overt and direct, so of course there's that connection on the outer level, but what are you missing out? What are the chances here that the inner connection, his heart, was touched to move towards you? Chatzufa could also mean, again, we know as women, and this we have to be smart. The Eishter endowed in a woman's body a tremendous amount of energy, Tashat B'Gashmias. It stems from Ruchnias. Within our bodies, we create life and we nurture life. And any parts of those bodies, the womb and the area surrounding it, create life. Breastfeeding, we're nurturing life to the next generation, right? There's something so powerful that we have due to the kaychus of Ein Sof, of creation itself, that it was invested in the woman's guf. Now, begashmias, we could use our guf alone to have our husband tune into us, tune into our bodies, okay? So here's the risk. Chatzufa could mean she's brazen. She's using her guf that he should tune into her guf. Right? Hormonal overwhelm, as we say it in English. But is there really a connection there? Is it...
So that's not good, you're saying?
It depends. We have to be smart. Is it a way that his whole essence will connect with your whole self? Or is this just the external layers that are connected with your external layers? And that's why, for every relationship, it'll be different. The idea is, we're not just using hormonal overwhelm without the context of a connection. Of an emotional connection, of a focus, of a togetherness. When it's just that hormonal overwhelm and nothing else. Is he connecting to you because you're a woman, or is he connecting to you because you're his wife? Okay? Would it make a difference if another woman were the same thing or presented herself the same way? Does he feel connected to you as husband and wife? Or, hey, that looks so ABC. Okay, we're going to talk now for a minute about a holy kavod. Okay, so that's in the negative. I mean, this is not negative. Okay, girls, you could write it when you want to give me feedback. I'll read it. I never did this before in public because this particular part of the test notion, it was such elaboration, because it could evoke a lot of negative or fearful feelings. What was my decision with consulting with my mentor to yes, say it in public? Just like I said earlier, if there's even one woman here who could take the step to improve one of these situations in a practical way, and everyone else got a little scared, it's fine. Because there's one show of bias that the husband and wife will move towards a deeper sense of oneness, connection, and simcha in the bedroom, not chas v'shalom, feel forced or have somebody drunk or not there or whatever going on in such a situation, okay? But anyways, girls, listen, young ladies. A holy kavanah is also very, there's a big confusion when it comes to have a holy kavanah. Some people think if I want to be in a holy matzav, I have to think while mamish, b'shas ma'isav, the yichud, and it disturbs and it destroys even the feeling of connection and oneness. So I want to elaborate on this. So there's a halacha, or a chassidus talks a lot about this. When we sit down, when a man, let's say, sits down to study Torah, so why do we say Birchas HaTorah? We say Birchas HaTorah because we have to remember we're not learning a book of knowledge, like a very nice intellectual book. Torah is, we have to remember about the Nisim HaTorah. We are now about to embark on studying Torah Hashem, Chochmas Hashem. It's not Stam, something interesting or something, whatever. So there's another halakha. So while we're studying Torah, we're supposed to have an awareness that it's the Eibishter's Torah. However, if we're really involved in a sugya, and this one is talking this opinion, and the other one is saying their opinion, and you're so heavily involved in trying to figure it out, are we really thinking about the Eibishter at that time, or just trying in Derech HaTava to try to work out what is the halacha, or what are the different opinions, right? On a practical level, our brains are consumed with the actual limud haTorah, and we're not focusing on the nosan haTorah. So how do we balance this at the outset? So in the morning we say Brichas haTorah, or when we start learning Torah, we can have this machshava. I am now learning Torah Hashem. And that gives the flavor of how are we going to behave, what's going to be my behavior or my relationship with this aspect of the activity that I'm doing right now, knowing that it's Torah Hashem. It's not about human intelligence, and if I have a different opinion, how do we argue, I'll be Torah, etc., etc. The same thing when we know we're embarking on intimacy, okay? We don't just jump into bed and have a yichud. You know, there's a journey. It could take a couple minutes, like the fastest time in the yichud room, how many minutes? 7, 9, 11, 13? Or it could take a little bit more than that, or more. But when we know we're going in that direction, that's when we have a holy kavana. We stop for a moment. In our mind, we focus, what is my goal? Kivun. What direction am I taking? Why am I doing this? What is happening? Is it just two bodies enjoying each other and having a good time and gaining pleasure? That's wonderful, but why? Because there's something called a mitzvah oyma. You understand? How are we going to focus on putting Hashem into this picture? Because we're three partners in this relationship, not two. And for various couples, it'll be different. The foundation of a holy kavanah is called shalom bayis. I'm having a good time together because we are having, even if we want to enjoy each other's goofing, who else should I enjoy? Not my husband. Let's have a great time together. That's it. As simple as that. What could be more holier than shalom bayis? A holy kavana means also to the exclusion of all others, obviously. You have to make sure you're not thinking about anyone else, right? Holy kavana could mean, like it says in the Sfarim, if you're, you know, during the last 6 months of pregnancy, it's a benefit for the child that you have inside of you. You can say, okay, fine. There's a side benefit here. So says Hashem. It talks about having the image of a holy tzaddik, or saying the names of holy, of the obvious or most holy tzaddikim or tzadkanis in your mind if you can't have the imagery. Why? Because the kavana is, my children should be like these holy tzaddikim. They should be created with their... with their, whatever it is, Amunas Hashem, Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, you know, we want to connect to something that if we're making a creation, being in the neshama born in the guf, or in the neshama that's going to be in the guf by Tchis HaMesim, it should be like these holy tzaddikim, because we know imagery when we go out of the mikveh, the first thing we greet is the woman. Remember, that's one of the roles of the Shemeres. When you come out of the water, the first thing you meet is something holy. And the Rebbe says, Nashim Tzidkanis, when they go out of the building, the first thing they should see is something holy. And that's in the Sikha of Chav Chesh and Tashim and Dalet. So imagery has an impact, or the holy letters of the Olive Base, whatever the case is, but the holiest thing is to have this focus of connection and shalom bayis and togetherness, and we're drawing the Shekhinah between us through our closeness and the connection in a very human way. And then continue with that activity, you understand? And then get into it, and get into it completely, and focus on the beauty of the mitzvah at hand. Okay, so that is about a holy connection.
So there's, after this kind of class where we talk about the importance of the feelings and the thoughts of the parents, how that can affect a child to be born, sometimes we start getting a little bit worried, we start feeling guilty, or maybe even embarrassed, because, you know, retroactively, maybe there was a situation where we were intimate with our husband and it wasn't so perfect, or even anything close to what this positive energy and connection is supposed to feel like. And a child was born from that. And we start worrying, who knows how that impacted the child, or maybe we clearly see that this child has challenges and we start blaming ourselves. Oh, if I would have done better, if my husband would have done better, maybe the child would have been different. And then it could take us into this negative spin of guilt and shame. So first of all, the Rebbe addresses this. I want to, in the podcast notes, we'll include this, but I want to definitely first bring some sources that I want to share with you. And based on these sources, if that's not enough to spin you back to a positive, confident mode or mood, please reach out to Mashpia to be able to sort out Chas v'Shalom that any woman should feel any shame or any negative feelings of the impact that they have on a child. So first of all, most often, none of us did this on purpose. So it was done b'shogeg. Either we didn't know, or we didn't know better, or the situation was not in our hands. It was dependent on somebody else, maybe our husband, or another outside factor that overwhelmed us. So the Rebbe says over here, this is a letter dated the first day of Hanukkah, Toshin Chof Hey, 5725. And here the Rebbe says as follows: it sometimes happens that the kind of problem about which you write results from the fact that the parents had not observed fully the laws and regulations of Taras Mishpacha. Fortunately, repentance, which is tshuva, is effective even retroactively. Therefore, you ought to try not only to rectify any shortcoming in this area, but also to spread and strengthen the observance of these laws within the framework of the Jewish way of life as a whole, to the fullest extent of your influence. This will go a long way to bring about the hoped for results. So here the Rebbe is saying that if we show regret, and the Eibishter certainly knows if this regret is sincere, it's retroactive and it lifts the negative effects. And this is talking about the laws of Taras Mishpacha. If somebody actually didn't keep those laws, Kavu Chaimer, all the more so can it undo these type of they're not mitzvah sase, mitzvah leisa sase, the other halachas or minhagim that could have an effect of our children. And if you notice, the Rebbe says tshuva, and also to have an effect on others. Some of us can teach, some of us can support an organization that teaches or influence others to try to learn together. So that's definitely a recipe that not only neutralizes the negative effects, but actually the Rebbe says it's retroactive. It actually undoes the negativity. There's a sefer here called Sheikadish Atzmai that brings a lot of sources. And he adds something else, a few more little details that I want to share. So one thing he says, and this is in the name of the Mashpir of Shlomo Chaim Kesselman, who said as follows, that somebody who's connected to their Rebbe, here talks about Arabeim, and in this context, it was about the Rebbe Rashab, the Friedrich Rebbe, and our Rebbe, three Rebbes in a row. Somebody who connects themselves to the Rebbe specifically is mitahir, cleanses the chosid, which would be that child that was born from negative influences of the parents, and the levushim of their neshama, the garments of their neshama, have a negative touch to it. The Rabbeim that we're connected to will wash away these negative influences that happened as a result of the parents and wasn't as a result of the person himself. And like the Friedrich Rebbe once told somebody by Yechidus, that when somebody is so sunk in negativity, it's not Chas v'Shalom, it's his own neshama. It's a levush, is a garment. A garment could be changed. And therefore, the Rebbe could change those garments that the neshama of a chassid received from their parents, and the Rebbe places new garments on this chassid. So the Mashpir, Shlomo Chaim Kesselman, used to say that somebody who learns in the Maisid of the Rebbe, and whoever is listening to Mikvah.org podcast, you're learning in a Maisid of the Rebbe, of course, somebody who's busy with the Miftzayim of the Rebbe, somebody who tries to fulfill the directives of the Rebbe, somebody who's connected to the Rebbe through learning his Torah, all those show that you're connected, you're a chassid of the Rebbe, and the Rebbe will cleanse those garments that they received from their parents. So that's, I think, very uplifting. And in another source here that's brought down from the Rebbe, a letter from the Rebbe, it's connected to a certain a new planting. Means we thought we planted a tree, and once the tree is planted, that's how it grows forever. But when we undo the past, when we decide that from now on we're going to do better for the future, it's like this plant is planted anew. So it's almost like you're giving your child a rebirth just from the fact that we did tshuva and we have a sincere regret over things in the past. In general, this is the what I spoke about right now is specifically in matters connected to Taras Mishpacha or at the time of conception. But Chassidus is full of sources about the power of tshuva and not only undoing the past, but how that negative energy, the zedinos, the negativity becomes the greatest merits. So that's not for, we're not going to discuss this right now, but if I just wanted to give you a few little tidbits from Chassidus connected to Taras Mishpacha. And as far as tshuva in general, you could check out any website that talks about Chabad.org that talks about tshuva and regret. And that definitely will be very comforting. And I wish every one of us that the Eibishter should actually help us feel very positive about our relationships, despite what happened in the past. Definitely, Emirat Hashem, we should all see true nachas, Yiddish nachas, Chassidish nachas from every one of our children.
I want to end with something positive. And maybe I should have left one of these sources for the end of the beginning. Just want to say, girls, because the Kodesh Kodashim is the most important part of the house, it is the source of the Shechina, of the Ahava, of the positive energy for the entire home. Let's treat it what it is, and we should be Zeicha very soon through our union between husband and wife, the Rebbe mentions. It says if a woman is and a husband and one have a yichud together, it causes closeness between Kutchot Brichu and Knesset Yisrael. So the Eibishter, for our shalom bayis and our oneness with our spouses, Hashem will feel close to the Jewish people and will be zeicha to have the binyan based on Mikdash HaShlishi.
We hope you enjoyed today's recording. Please take a moment to leave a rating or a review to help others find the podcast. We welcome you to support our vital work at mikvah.org/donate. For feedback, please email podcast@mikvah.org. Have a wonderful day.